Welcome to South Shore Handmade. This is a podcast about sewing, knitting, and living a handmade life. I'm Jenny, and you can find the show notes for this episode on my blog at southshorehandmade.blogspot.com. And there you'll find links to the things I talk about and lots of pictures of the things I'm talking about. Today I'm going to talk about life, goodies, sewing, knitting, and new to the queue. So for life, I really don't have much. The only thing I want to mention is that I moved my sewing area, which has been really fun. I've had a dedicated sewing space for years now, and since we've moved into this house in Florida, my sewing space has been in the office. We have a room with a door, which is like an office, and my husband's computer things are in here, and my sewing machine and my computer in here. Which was great because we could spend our evenings together relaxing, and we also have a TV, so we can watch TV and sew, and yeah. But as the boys have grown older, they're spending more and more time in here. They like playing computer games, they like to bring the iPad in here and hang out, which is great, but it's not a huge room, so it was getting a little crowded, and even more than crowded, it was just kind of getting loud. You know, and they would be wanting to watch TV, and my sewing machine was going, which was too loud, and it's just a little too much for this little room. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to let the boys have this room, and I'm going to find myself a little sewing nook somewhere in the house. And the area I settled on is upstairs. We have a small loft area at the top of our stairs outside the bedrooms, and it's not really large. We'd been using it... when we first moved in, it was like a play area, a playroom, and all their toys were up there. And now, since they've been sharing a bedroom, they have the other bedroom. It's kind of their playroom. So after that change happened, we have a TV up there and just some chairs for relaxing. But really, we hardly ever use that area. You know, the boys would rather be downstairs watching TV or a movie if they're going to be doing that. And we really only used it... like if we had adults over for, you know, a grown-up night and the kids, we would kind of banish upstairs to watch TV or watch a movie. And also when we have guests, they use it because it's kind of right outside the guest bedroom. So it's a nice spot for them to sit in the evening and if they want to, you know, have some quiet reading time. But anyway, we weren't using it much. And I'm a big believer in trying to use all of your house. So... I took about half of that space up there, and I moved my sewing machine up there, and I went to IKEA, good old IKEA, and got a big, one of those shelving units that's just like the cubes, and put lots of my sewing things in there. I still have my sewing fabric stash in the guest bedroom closet, and I still have some yarns in... the playroom closet, but I have actually quite a bit of the yarn now in a little cubby there, and really I could move it all into my cubbies. The thing is, like, I want to display my beautiful skeined yarn that I haven't used. I don't have a ton, and I do have that out in a little shelving unit, but then I have like all the bits and ends of yarn, like little balls left over that I'm saving for some future blanket project, probably like a scrappy blanket at some point, but that's not as pretty and lovely to display. So yeah, that's in like a box in the playroom closet. So I don't know, maybe I'll put it in a pretty little basket in my sewing area, or maybe you'll just stay in the closet. We'll see. And yeah, like I said, most of my stash is still in the guest room closet, but I did bring out the fabrics that I am in my head planning to work on soon. So sometimes these ideas don't happen quickly, and I imagine that some of those fabrics will just be sitting on the shelf for a while until I get around to them. But anyway, I'm really enjoying it. I got some boxes at IKEA to put in my shelves to put my like zippers and just different kinds of notions and my magazines in magazine holders down there, and I'm just really, really happy. And I love having my own little spot I go up there quite a bit on on the weekends, on Saturdays, and I'll just go up and sew for a few hours. It is the benefit of my boys getting older is I'm definitely getting more uninterrupted, well, not uninterrupted because they do come around, but some more dedicated sewing time, and I'm not having to just, do a little here and there or just do it in the evenings. So, yeah, I'm really happy with my little sewing space. I'll try to take a picture. I have to clean it up a little bit. Although I have to say, since I've been up there, it's been pretty clean. I've been doing a pretty good job of keeping it clean, if I do say so myself, but but I could use a little tidy. A little tidy up, and then I can take a picture and post with the show notes. So for goodies, this episode, I'm just going to talk about some fabrics that I bought recently. I took a trip to Penny Fabrics in Sarasota this past weekend. There was a class, what is it, like a pattern making class, and this year the owner of Penny Fabrics had a man come whose job has been to make costumes for the performing arts there in Sarasota. I assume it's there in Sarasota. I assume that's how he knows him. Anyway, so he has a lot of experience doing this draping to make a, what is it, a sloper. That's the word I'm looking for. A sloper. If you're not really familiar with sewing, a sloper is a garment that you make to fit your body exactly, very snugly. It's not meant to be worn. As a garment outside the house, it's more something that you make to make sure that it fits you, and then you use it as a basis to make new patterns. And that's what you use when you hear about dart manipulation, like moving darts around, changing style lines, making princess seams, all that stuff you can do once you have a good sloper. And the idea is you don't need to buy so many patterns, and certainly not. Really basic patterns that you can have these things fit just specifically for you and easily change them around to make different styles. Okay, so anyway, there were about 10 ladies there, and we got partners and draped the bodice portion of a sloper for each of us, and then we put it onto paper to make a pattern. And we got that far. We didn't do any sewing. It was all just draping and tracing and drawing and things. So I'm anxious to use that paper pattern I came back with and, see the results. And to make up a bodice and just see how it fits. Obviously, none of us were very experienced, so I wouldn't expect, perfection. From the woman who pinned my muslin onto my body. But then the instructor did come around and kind of tweaked everyone's, and he really did for mine. So I'm excited to see. I'm anxious to get it sewn up. So I'm hopefully here pretty soon. I'll do that. It shouldn't take long. I just need to trace it onto some fabric and sew it up. Doesn't have to be pretty. It's just to check out the fit. So. Anyway, back to the fabric. I also bought a little bit of fabric. I had gone just a few weeks prior, actually, to Penny's with some of the Tampa sewing ladies, with Myra, who has the blog Simple Inspiration, which I'll put a link to, and another lady named Andrea. And I don't know, I don't think she's blogging right now. Anyway, so that was two trips to Penny Fabrics in less than a month. So I definitely need to stay away for a little while. But some of the fabrics that I bought were. But the fabrics I really wanted to mention that I bought there were two stretchy bottom weight fabrics to make some kind of stretchy ponte pants. And Myra actually shared a great pattern with me that I'm so anxious to sew up and give a try. But the fabrics I bought, one was kind of a grayish, kind of like a mushroom color that I bought specifically because Myra was wearing pants that she had made from that fabric, and they were really nice. So, yeah, I'll have some matching pants with Myra, hopefully. And then I also got this gorgeous kind of faux suede, maybe you'd call it like moleskin, but it's really quite stretchy, and to make the same kind of pants. And then to go on top, this open sweater knit. I'll definitely post a picture, because it's like a mesh. I would call it like a large mesh, but it's a wool sweater knit. It's just gorgeous. It's the kind of fabric that, you know, you expect to find in New York City at the Garment District, but you don't really hope to find here in Florida. So I snagged less than a yard of that, just to make a really specific top. I want to make a sleeveless tunic kind of a top to wear with those blue moleskin pants, and then obviously like a cami underneath. Or for winter, I can even wear it with like a long sleeve turtleneck underneath. So that's a whole outfit I'm really excited about. It's funny, I don't usually buy fabrics for a whole outfit at one time, you know, unless it's a dress. So, but I saw those two fabrics and they just had to be together. So yeah, I'm really excited for that outfit. And then I also bought some fabrics recently. I really need to not buy fabrics until like after the new year. But I bought some fabrics from Gorgeous Fabrics, an online fabric store, after I made a t-shirt recently. And I blogged about it. I won't really talk a lot about it, but it's just a basic t-shirt using the Itch to Stitch Idlewood tee pattern. And I was pretty happy with that t-shirt, and I kind of, I don't know what got it in my head that I want to make a couple more t-shirts, probably because that's what I wear a lot of in my stay-at-home lifestyle. It's a casual lifestyle. So I bought this really pretty pale pink jersey, kind of like a slubby knit. It's really pretty to make. I think I'll make a 3/4 length sleeve t-shirt. And then I also got a striped, like a little pinstriped, and I can't decide if I want to make some kind of a top with that, or for some reason, it's kind of telling me it wants to be a wrap dress. That's what it's telling me, so we'll see. I'm not totally decided with that striped jersey. And then I also bought, from Gorgeous Fabrics, two more fabrics. I bought some navy blue, thicker fabric to make a skirt, like a basic, pretty basic skirt. And I bought an ottoman striped knit. And if you're not familiar with that, ottoman is, it's a knit and it's thick, kind of like a ponte, but it has really pronounced ridges going selvage to selvage. So it's definitely more of a winter weight fabric. And a few months ago, well, probably like the beginning of the summer, so more than a few months ago. But a while ago, I did a little post on my blog about some of my inspirations. And there were a couple of things that were made from ottoman fabric, or looked like they could be this striped ottoman fabric. So I saw that on the site and I snagged some. So I'm not sure. I kind of want to make a dress out of it, but then I'm like, I have enough dresses. So I'm thinking it'll be some kind of a top, like a winter weight top. Actually, I'm remembering this one top that I put in that blog post. It wasn't striped, but it was made out of ottoman fabric. And it had some zippered pockets, and it was kind of like a really nice sweatshirt kind of top. So that's what I'm leaning toward right now. We'll see. So on to sewing. My most recent thing that I've finished is some black pants using Simplicity 1696, which I have used twice before, once to make some navy and white patterned pants, and once to make some dark olive green slacks pants. So yeah, so I know I like this pattern a lot, and I've mentioned it quite a bit, and I was anxious to make these black pants from it. But the only thing that was kind of funny was that this fabric is really quite stretchy. It's a cotton bottom, you know, bottom weight fabric, but it has a lot of stretch. So, you know, all my perfected fitting that I've done with those pants kind of went out the window because I had to take in the side seams more than with the other pants just because of the stretch factor. So it's something to think about. Even when you get a pattern to fit you well, you do sometimes still need to make tweaks depending on the fabric that you're using. One thing that I did after I had quite a bit of trouble fitting my most recent pants, which were like a gray summer weight wool suiting. I can't recall the pattern, but I'll link to the blog post in the show notes. I haven't talked about them on the podcast, only on the blog. So yeah, you can go there and check them out. Anyway, I had trouble fitting them. So with all of my investigating about fitting my body, I've determined that I have one or a combination of the following fitting challenges. I've heard it called different things. A forward tilting pelvis, like a tilted pelvis. Basically, my thighs, my legs kind of stick forward a little bit more than the average person. I've also heard it and read of it called muscular thighs or protruding thighs. But basically what it means, yeah, is that my legs kind of stick forward on my body and my rear end is maybe a little lower than normal. This sounds horrible to talk about. This just sounds ridiculous. Anyway, the fitting issue is that my pants kind of pull toward the front and I get extra fabric pooling like under my rear end. And this is a problem that I've noticed with purchased slacks and with slacks that I've made. And I've always just kind of been like, meh, you know. It's a problem I have with my ready-to-wear clothes, so I'll deal with it with the things that I made. But no, like the whole point of sewing for yourself is to get something perfectly custom-made for you. So I made an adjustment on this pair of pants that I'm really happy with, and I think it's going to be kind of a standard. What I did, since I have extra fabric right under my butt, I folded that out of the pattern piece. So this is before I even cut out my fabric. I folded out about a half an inch to an inch right under the crotch curve. Just totally vertically folded out about an inch in the thigh area in the back pattern piece, and I left the front pattern piece untouched. So yes, in the end, this means that my back piece, the piece of fabric for the back of my leg, is shorter than the front piece of fabric. But I just eased that extra fabric on the front. I kind of eased it into the back. You just pin it. You can pin it to ease it in like you would with gathering, but much less pronounced. You certainly don't want gathers on your side seams. I eased it in, and this has worked perfectly. I really need to take some pictures of these pants because these are the best fitting pants I've made in that area in the back. So yes, I'm very, very happy with these pants. I'm very, very happy with these pants and the fit. Again, that's Simplicity 1696. It's in their, they have like a special line of patterns. I think it's called Perfect Fit. It's like focused on fitting and walking you through the process of fitting things. Really happy with those pants. One other thing that I've made recently that I haven't put on the blog yet is a dress using McCall's 7186, and this is a knit jersey dress, and it has lots of draping around the front. The back is kind of just a normal back knit dress pattern piece, but the front actually has two pieces, and they kind of drape around each other, and it's really flattering. It has, you know, kind of gathers around the stomach and hip area, which can be really flattering. And the fabric is another one from Penny Fabrics that I'd actually bought months and months ago. And it's this brown and white, kind of a blotchy. It has kind of the look of an abstract animal print, but it's certainly not, you know, a photographic animal print. It's really fun. It's a really fun dress. And that's another one I still need to take pictures of. I'm so far behind with like taking pictures of things I've made and getting them up on the blog. I really like using the blog as a just like a catalog of the things that I've made. And yeah, and I'm behind. I also made some pajamas recently, also still need to photograph them. And I'm really happy with those. The shorts, it's shorts and like a tank top. The shorts are from Birda, which I haven't used in a long time. I sewed a lot of Birda when I lived in Germany because they were really easy to get my hands on. But these are, and this pattern was purchased back then. The shorts are Birda 7765, and the top is a cute little cami from McCall's 5248. And I think probably both of those patterns are out of print, so I won't talk much about them. But the cami, the top pattern, these are both pajama patterns. Yeah, I kind of mixed and matched a top from one with a bottom from the other. And the McCall's pattern that I used for the cami is actually for a woven fabric, but I used a knit. So I just made it as it was designed, and then I just took in the side seams until it was comfortable. The one thing that I'm working on right now that's not finished, that still needs just a little bit of hand stitching, is a peplum top blouse. The pattern. Oh, I don't have the pattern written down. Give me a minute and I'm gonna find it. Okay, I'm back. The pattern is McCall's. Wait, where is it? Okay, the pattern is McCall's 7162 and it's a sleeveless peplum top. Yeah. It's a design by Laura Ashley and it has a couple different variations of how you can do the peplum and how you can do the back, but it's really cute. And I used a really lightweight cotton shirting from Penny Fabrics to make it. And I'm really excited for it to be finished. It just needs a little bit of hand stitching. The only issue that I'm having is this shirting fabric that I used is so lightweight. I think it might be a little on the lightweight side for this because it seems to not be as structured as I feel like maybe it's supposed to be. It gets a little too soft. So, and we'll see. We'll see how it looks. It's definitely cute. It'll look nice with some slacks or even with a skirt. It'll look cute under a cardigan or on its own. Yeah, I'm excited to finish it up, and it won't take much longer. I just need to do a little hand stitching. Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention from my sewing is not a garment. Sometimes I do other things. It's this cute little lunchbox I made. I've started volunteering at my kids' library at school once a week, which is so much fun. I'm really, really enjoying it. I have a tendency to stay long past my like 2 hour window, just shelving books and helping the kids find books and stuff like that. I love doing this. Anyway, so I decided I had to have a little lunch box because I go and have lunch with my kids on those days. One of them has like this really early lunchtime, so I bring my coffee and have coffee with him while he has his lunch. And then my other son, I have lunch when he has lunch. It's great. But the pattern I used is fantastic and I wanted to mention it. It's Atkinson Designs Wine and Dine. Wine and Dine is the name of the pattern. Atkinson Designs is the name of the company. And it's this really nice little lunchbox. Or you can make it as a wine, like a little wine carrier, wine bottle tote. But yeah, obviously I made the lunchbox size. And everything is, there's no like pattern pieces, it's all measurements. So I used my rotary cutter and my mat, and I had some fabrics that I had bought specifically for this quite a long time ago. And I'm really happy with it. It calls for, I used the iron-on, what do you call it? Like oil cloth? It's not oil cloth. It basically makes like this protective plastic kind of coating on the fabric. You put it right on a quilting cotton and it makes it, semi-waterproof, water repellent, I guess. And it worked out really well. I wasn't sure how I would like it, how the fabric would feel afterwards, but it works great. It irons on very cleanly and evenly. There's no bubbles or anything. I'm really pleased with it, and it's held up well. I've used it a few times now. The little lunch bag has held up well, and it's a really cute design. It has a nice zipper top. It has a little holder for your drink and a little holders for your silverware. It's a great size. I'm just really happy with it. The only thing I wish I had done differently is I wish I'd interfaced the handles. And it doesn't tell you to. I just followed the instructions exactly. But basically, the handles are just like 4 layers of quilting cotton, which is not super sturdy, especially compared with the rest of it, which has that coating on it. That plasticky coating on it to make it water repellent. That's really quite structured, and that's great. But yeah, the handles, they could use either a little interfacing or some of that coating themselves. That would be my only suggestion if you try to make this pattern. All right, let's move on to knitting. I've been knitting quite a bit too. I think last time I mentioned I was going to start a pattern from the recent Interweave Knits Fall 2015 magazine called Tucker, out of like a blue gilsk, I want to call it. I don't have it in front of me. Anyway, I've been working on that, and if you followed me on Instagram, which I am SS Handmade Jenny, if you'd like to follow me, I'd love to see what you're up to. Anyway, I had to rip that back a lot. I modified this pattern to be top down because I wasn't sure how much yarn I would need because I totally changed the weight. I think it called for like a worsted weight and I'm using fingering weight, so it's totally different. And I'm really happy with how it's turning out. It's just that the fit wasn't great, and obviously that's totally on me. I just I'm doing my own calculations. Basically, I'm using the pattern for the little cable detail around the yoke, and then the rest of the sweater, I'm just, knitting myself to my measurements. So I left myself too much ease in the body, and I wasn't happy. It felt too baggy. So I ripped it all the way back. I had finished the body, and I ripped it all the way back up to the armholes and knit it again closer to the body. And I'm really happy with it now. And I'm almost finished with the first sleeve. So I'm kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel because I have one sleeve and a little bit to go, and then it'll be finished. And it's going to be really cute. I'm just so sick of knitting on this sweater. So sick of it. And I don't usually feel that way. Like, I'll get to a point where I kind of want something different, but I don't usually say I'm really sick of knitting on something. This one, I am. So anyway, I had been trying not to start another sweater because I like to only have one, maybe two sweaters on the needles, and I had quite a few things on the needles. And I really, as much as I wanted to cast on a different sweater, I didn't. I think maybe you understand if you're knitters, like that internal turmoil between wanting more projects and the excitement of casting on a new project, and also wanting to focus on just one or two or three projects you already have on the needles so you can get them finished. Like, obviously, the more different projects you're working on, the longer it takes to finish any one of them. Anyway, I lost that battle with myself, and last night I cast on a new sweater project, which I'm so excited about. It is, let me see, I wrote it down somewhere. Where is it? Hello. The yarn is Malabrigo, and it's their DK weight. Here it is. Okay, Malabrigo Arroyo. And the color that I'm using is this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous green. Like, this is the semi-solid green of my dreams. It's like a, maybe a little dark. It's certainly not like a hunter, but it's not like a bright green. It's just gorgeous. It reminds me of like a forest. Fresco. Fresco, I think, is the name of the colorway. Yeah, it's gorgeous. I'm loving it. I only have maybe 15 rows finished. It's bottom up, in the round for the body. It's gorgeous. I'm so excited. The pattern I'm using is another Interweave Knits pattern. It's Interweave Knits Summer 2010. And the pattern I'm using is the Lace Saddle Tee, which is a basic It's a basic little sweater pattern. But the sleeves have a kind of a lacy leaf pattern that just go all the way up the sleeve and into a saddle shoulder, which I love. So yeah, I'm really happy. I'm really excited about it. And the funny thing is, I'm making it either three quarter or long sleeve. I haven't decided. So I went on to Ravelry to look for somebody who had made it, maybe who had made that change and made this t-shirt into a long sleeve or three quarter sleeve top. And I found one project that was like that. And guess who made it? It was my sister's project. So that was really, really funny. And after I saw the picture, I was like, oh yeah, I remember when she was knitting on that. So that was really funny. So we'll have matchy matchy sweaters. Well, in totally different yarns, but that's beside the point. So yeah, I just started that, but I'm really excited about it. So let's see, the other things I'm working on, I'm making the Wyatt sweater from BT Kids, Brooklyn Tweed's BT Kids collection. And it's the Wyatt sweater for my younger son. And the yarn is called Kenzie in like a red tweedy color that he had picked out over the summer. And I ran out. I'm almost done with this sweater. I've been working on it quite a bit. It's for Christmas, but I need to finish it because I'm making my other son a sweater also for Christmas. So, you know, it's the end of October, so I need to get started on the second sweater, especially since this one, Wyatt, that I've been making is like a worsted weight, and the one for my other son that he chose is a fingering weight. So, yeah, I need to get going on that one. Anyway, so I ran out of yarn and I'm almost finished. All I have is the it's kind of a Henley style, and I just have to do the button band and the other side, the placket. So I had bought this yarn while visiting my parents, and my little one was along with me and had picked out the yarn. So I called my mom. She's coming to visit in a couple weeks, and I asked if maybe she could go back to that store and see if they have any. So, and of course, she's so sweet. She said, of course, she would go. So I gave her all the information, and we'll see if she can find it, if they still have it. If not, I'm sure I can find it online somewhere, but I thought maybe, cross our fingers, they might even have the same dye lot. But if not, that's okay because it is just the placket. So even if it's not exact, that's okay. We'll make it work. Okay, the only other thing I'm knitting is I started a pair of socks for my sister-in-law for her birthday. She had really liked my purple Butterblümchen socks that I had made, I don't know, probably a year ago now or at least 6 months ago. And purple is her favorite color, and she said, I mean, she basically hinted strongly that she would love a pair for herself. So I only have one sister-in-law, so I'll totally make her a pair of socks. So the fabric, the yarn that I'm using is, oops, here it is. Okay. The yarn that I'm using is called Yarn Love in Eleanor Dashwood is the yarn, which is 80% merino, superwash merino, and 20% nylon. And the color is Arabian Nights, which is a dark purple semi-solid. I'm really into the semi-solids lately. I think I'm just a slave to the trends. Anyway, I've made this pattern before. It's really cute socks that have some flowers on them. And I modified the pattern to only put the flowers up on the leg area and not down on the foot, and I'm going to do that again. It makes them easier to knit, for one, and faster. And also, you know, I wear my socks usually under shoes, and that I don't need pretty flowers in my shoe. And I don't know how well it would hold up because it's slipped stitches to make some long stitches for the flower petals. And yeah, and I don't know how well that would hold up. So I just started those. I finished the cuff and maybe 2 inches down into the leg. They're top down. So I still have a ways to go for those. And I also volunteered to do a test knit for someone, which I'm about to start. So everything will probably go on hold just for a few days. It's just a accessory, so it'll be a pretty quick knit. and I'll share about that after that pattern is released. I am excited though. I'll tell you the yarn is a Debbie Bliss Rialto DK, which is just a merino, and it's in this dark pink color, and I think it's going to be gorgeous with the coat that I really want to make this winter, which will be a dark gray. So let me talk about that. So yes, I've been wanting to make myself a gray wool coat for, I don't know, a couple years now. I've had the same dark gray wool coat since college. So yeah, we're talking probably close to 15 years. And I mean, while it's held up fine and I'm all about, you know, wearing this coat until it dies, it is not really the style that I want right now. It's kind of baggy and the sleeves are too short, as most of my sleeves are that I buy ready to wear because I've got monkey arms. So yeah, I bought some gray wool at Penny Fabrics, and I bought some lining from Gorgeous Fabrics. And the lining is like a bright pink with flowers on it. It's going to be really fun, a really fun lining. And the wool is kind of lightweight, which is good for here in Florida. I don't need anything super, super warm. But we do have times when you do need a coat. And I do visit family up north, so I definitely need a coat. Anyway, I think that hat I was talking about is going to be gorgeous with this dark gray wool coat and this dark pink hat, and then I have enough to make some gloves and a big scarf, or like a little shawl, scarf shawl hybrid of some type. I'm really excited. I'm going to be very cozy and cute this winter. So finding a pattern for this coat was a little surprisingly challenging. I knew I wanted something that zippered up. I wanted something easy. Okay, like I have enough cute jackets, but I need a coat, like a workhorse coat. So I wanted something with a hood. I wanted something with a zipper. I wanted something either knee length or kind of close to knee length, like mid thigh or so, like down over my butt, so that, you know, I can stay warm. The whole point of a coat is to stay kind of warm. And yeah, and kind of protect me from the wind. So anyway, I found the perfect coat from Waffle Patterns, and the pattern is called Pepernoot, I guess. It's a Dutch word, so forgive me. But the coat is gorgeous. It has a big hood. It has some seaming in the back. It has some interest. It's not boring. It has fun pockets with zippers on them. And the only issue is there's like nobody has made this pattern, and it's an independent designer, and there's not a whole lot about her. So, I mean, a big part of me is like, just, you know, go for it. Give it a try. What's the worst that can happen? And I did buy the pattern. So yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm making this pattern. I bought it. I've already taped together. It's PDF printable. So I already taped together the pieces for the outside of the coat, and I still need to put together the pieces for the lining. Yeah, but if this coat is a success, it's going to be so gorgeous. I'm really excited. And I already bought the zippers, the right lengths. I had to order them online. And I'm excited for this. I don't think I'm going to make it quite yet. It's still like in the 80s during the day here, so I'm not needing it. Let's just say I don't need it right now. And there's other things I want to make, so I'm not going to make it quite yet, but I'm going to have everything ready to go when the time comes. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to this little catch-up of what I've been up to. And I'd love if you find me on Instagram. I am, again, SS Handmade Jenny. And on Ravelry, my name is Jenny Ann. And again, you can find the show notes at southshorehandmade.blogspot.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.